Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
We're about to get started in just a moment. If you would find a seat, prepare to worship. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome to Grace Heritage Church. The church, the word church means assembly. And so we're never more the church than when we are gathered together on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord, to hear from Him. We want to welcome our visitors. If you are a visitor, we are thankful for your presence with us, and we welcome you. We ask that if you would, there's a little card in one of the pockets, hopefully in front of you, and you could take that, and if you would, fill in whatever information you would like us to have, and we will pray for you and welcome you. I want to remind you that we have community groups meeting this evening at 6:30, and if you need to know which one of those to go to or which one's closest to you, then come see me or just ask one of our men about that. We're also having prayer times on Wednesday evening at 6:30, and I encourage you to be a part of that. It's been a great time of encouragement and a time to come together with one accord in prayer, as the Scripture calls us to do. I think the Gues will be back and on track with their Bible study this week now that spring break is over. So I want to mention that as well. As we come to worship, I just want us to acknowledge that we are not here on our own strength and our own power and our own decision even, but we recognize that God is sovereign and He has brought us here and He has purposes for our being here. And so we look forward to what God is going to do among us and through us and in us as we worship God together. We don't come at our own initiative, but we come at His invitation. And if you would, let's stand and read together Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, which is on the front of your bulletins. This is the Lord's invitation to come into His presence and worship Him, and a reminder to us of what we're about here. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Let's sing together, O faithful God.
My Maker and my Savior.
worship the Lord because He is worthy of our worship and praise. Ourselves regularly of the gospel, of Christ's work. This is not just for those who are coming to faith in Christ, but for those who have long ago come to faith in Christ and now continue to live by faith and by His grace. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at a slightly longer passage than we often do at this point in our service. There are a couple of episodes in the life and teaching of Christ that are particularly good at reminding us of the gospel, reminding us of what Christ has done and of His power and His ability. Follow along with me. I'm going to read beginning in verse 11 and then through 25. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. While He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged Him, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And He charged him to tell no one, "But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But now, even more, the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to Him and to be healed of their infirmities. But He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And let me just stop here for a moment and say that this is a great analogy for what's going on in our hearts. That without Christ, without His power, we're like lepers. We're sick to the core. We're helpless, and we need Him. And we see that the connection between this physical healing and a spiritual healing brought out more explicitly in the next part of the passage. On one of those days, as He was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've struggled over the idea of forgiveness of sins because it's not something you can see. You know, I can pray and I don't visually see anything change. But this is a reminder to us that the same God who did something that people could see, and we have a historical testimony to the fact that Jesus was able to cleanse a leper and to heal a paralytic, is the same Jesus who promises to forgive sins of those who repent and trust in him. And so this ought to encourage our faith when we see this thing worked out, demonstrated for eyes to see and testified to us in Scripture, that this same God is able and willing to forgive sins. Christ was, he showed his desire to cleanse and forgive in doing this. In fact, he wasn't even asked explicitly to forgive sins, but he went right to the core of the man's problem. His ultimate problem was not that he couldn't walk. It was that he needed his sins forgiven. And whether you and I can walk or not, that's our ultimate problem too, is that we need our sins forgiven. We need a right relationship with God, and Christ is able to provide that. So let's take a moment to just pray silently, confessing our sins before the Lord and trusting in his forgiveness to all who believe in him. Our Father, you are gracious and merciful. You know our frame. You know our needs. You know that at times we need a physical, visible demonstration of your hidden power and your grace and mercy. And we have that here. We ask, Father, that this would confirm and strengthen our faith in Christ, and that we would know that apart from him, we are corrupted inside, and we are helpless. We cannot walk spiritually, but in Christ we are raised, we are cleansed, and we thank you for his work, and we pray in his name. Amen. Stand and let's sing together. Satisfied. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're using the Pew Bibles, that's page 956. First Corinthians chapter 7, beginning, as I say, in verse 25. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry, it is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, if there ever was a week crying out for intercessory prayer, this has been it, with events the world over demonstrating both your mighty power and the wickedness of men. We marvel, O God, at our need for you. We think of those in Japan and surrounding areas who are suffering untold destruction, and a destruction that we personally have never known or witnessed. We ask, O God, that you would be merciful to those people, that you would raise up a spirit of hope, and that through this enormous calamity, O God, that your power would be demonstrated, that people would see a great need for reconciliation with the Creator of the universe, and that you would begin what could only be described as an earthquake of revival that would follow this difficulty. And yet in the short term, O Father, we pray that you would provide comfort, and that you would be kind to those who are suffering, and that you would not let them continue without hope, O God. And might they cry out to the Creator of the universe as their only hope for the future. We think also of the difficulties which have begun in Libya. Father, as another conflict begins, man against man, nation against nation, where the curse of sin is on full display, and we pray, O Father, for mercy in that situation as well. We ask for a quick resolution, Lord, and also that you would provide wisdom to our president, to the leaders of other nations who are involved in this, and to our Congress and others responsible
for the actions of our nation. And we pray also, O Father, that you would protect our armed forces, excuse me, those who are going into harm's way. And we just ask, O Father, that you would be merciful to them as well. And the sufferings that we have witnessed this week are not only global in scale, Father, but even locally, as we think about the Goodner family who have suffered another loss in their immediate family. We just pray that you would be a God of comfort to them, that you would not let them continue without hope, but that you would help them, O Father, by the Spirit, to grieve a godly grief. To grieve, yes, it is impossible to withstand this without grieving, but may it be a grieving with comfort from the Holy Spirit and a grieving with, not without hope, that they might trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their only hope for the future as well. God, help the local community and even those in our body who might have the means and where it might be appropriate to meet the needs of that family as they're made known. We pray also, Father, for Brother Ray Rhodes, who's pastoring a new work in Georgia. We ask that you would encourage his heart, Lord, to continue in the ministry and to preach the gospel in all of its power and fullness, that sinners would be converted to you and that your people would become those mature lights upon a hill, that they might make a tremendous gospel difference in their community. We pray also for the Founders ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Lord, we ask that you would continue to give them wisdom and guidance as they offer help to churches who are attempting to establish firm foundations of doctrine and practice in local churches. Oh God, there's a great need for that, as you well know, in our nation. And so we pray that you would be Lord over it and make their work effectual. We pray also for Trinity Presbyterian Church and for their pastor, Chris Duncan, as he preaches. Even this day, Lord, may he preach with power. May your word correct, reprove, and encourage your people to live more holy and godly lives. And finally, Lord, we pray for Mayor Bill Hamm. We ask that you would give him the wisdom that he needs properly to govern our city. Might he help to establish an environment of tranquility where the gospel could make progress. And we close by praying for our brother, Mike Lays, who's about to come bring us the word. We ask that you would embolden him, give him the grace of preaching, give him the power and the boldness of preaching. And we pray also that you would move him out of the way, as it were, Father, that your word might have its effect upon your people. Ready the hearts of your people. Might we receive the word of God as it's preached and respond in faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I'd ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Psalms, to Psalms 40. Psalms 40. This morning I want us to look at the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Psalms 40 and verse 11. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, we have already heard the words of our brother as he has prayed this morning about, Lord, the many dire situations that we see around the world in which we live in this day. And Lord, even closer to home, a situation this week in a family that's very close to many within our body here at Grace Heritage, who have suffered great loss. And Lord, I realize that often as we look at these things as they impact our lives and the lives of those around us, Lord, sometimes we are driven to question your faithfulness, O God. We are driven to questions that often we cry out to you, O God, in the why. Why now? But Father, as we come even in this day, Lord, we realize that you are a faithful, trustworthy God. Lord, that we can look at your word and the many evidences that we see there, as we will see this morning. And Lord, even the testimony of our own lives today cry out to your faithfulness, O God. So Lord, this morning, may your word guide us and may your word speak to our hearts. Lord, may we bring to remembrance the many things that you have done in our lives and your great faithfulness to us today. Father, we pray this now in the precious and holy and exalted name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and amen. The faithfulness of God. Over this last couple of weeks, as the many situations that we've seen happening around the world, often I'm driven, and I know by God, to read things that encourage my heart to help me in those times. There's a little book that I read in often. It's a book that we have on our bookshelf that if you don't have, I would encourage you to get. It's a book by Arthur W. Pink on the attributes of God. From time to time, I'm encouraged to go back to that book and read of the very attributes of God that occur, that encourage me in my life, especially as situations arise like we find ourselves in the world in which we live today. Because in all honesty, unfaithfulness is probably one of the most outstanding sins of our day. I've heard it said since I was a very young man in the business world, especially, a man's word is with exceedingly rare exception, no longer his bond. I think we all could admit that as we look around at our world today, marital infidelity seemingly as rampant as the sacred bonds of wedlock are broken with little regard for those involved. But you know, as Christians, I wonder in how many ways have we been unfaithful to Christ and to the light and privileges which God has entrusted to us as His children. How many promises, how many commitments have we made and yet found ourselves to be unfaithful? As we think of the unfaithfulness of many today, and as we look at the situation of our world, what a word of encouragement we find in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 36 and verse 5. And I would encourage you to keep your Bibles handy, because I'm not coming just from one text in the Bible, but I'll be looking all over the Bible as we look at the faithfulness of God this morning. But in Psalms 36 and verse 5, we find these words: "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds." Far above all finite comprehension is the unchanging faithfulness of God. Everything about God is great. Everything about God is vast and incomparable. I want us to be reminded here this morning, as we think of the faithfulness of God, that God never forgets. That God never fails. That God never falters. That God never, never, never forfeits His word. To every declaration of promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. Every encouragement of covenant or threatening, He will make good. For Scripture tells us that God is not a man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? I think one of the greatest testimonies that we can find to the faithfulness of God, as recorded in Scripture, was recorded during the fall of Jerusalem by the weeping prophet Jeremiah. It describes the evil acts of humankind in such repugnant detail that the reader is given to discouragement. In his book of Lamentations, Jeremiah vividly portrays the emotions and feelings of those who actually experienced the great catastrophe of his day. And right in the midst of the ruin and all that was happening in the world of Jeremiah, as though he were transported into a completely different setting, renewed hope springs up within his heart as Jeremiah looks away from the affliction and the ruin and contemplates the infinite mercies of God. His perspective turns from the evil peril that surrounded him to the eternal purposes that renewed him and all those promises that he had. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, we find these words. Lamentations 3. He says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness. Oh, what words for you and I to hold on to this morning in the world in which we live. But I think of the story told that in 1923, a man by the name of Thomas Chisholm took those very words from the book of Jeremiah, contemplating those things in his heart, and I have to feel moved by the Spirit of God, wrote a beautiful hymn. It's a beautiful hymn on the faithfulness of God. The title of that hymn is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I think about the words that he wrote in that first stanza. He says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou wilt forever be. You know, Chisholm captured from Jeremiah the very thought and essence of what it means to know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God. Understand today that this quality, this faithfulness of God is essential to His being. Without it, He would not be God. For God to be unfaithful would be to act contrary to His nature, which is impossible today. We must see that even if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. You and I must realize this morning as we look at the faithfulness of God that it has nothing to do with us and our faithfulness. It is now and always has been and always will be about God. My unfaithfulness will in no way affect or nullify or void out the faithfulness of God. We must see and believe that faithfulness is one of the glorious perfections of His being. It can be said that He is clothed with it. For in Psalms 89 and verse 8 it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as You are, O Lord, with Your faithfulness all around You. This morning I want us to understand that God is true. That His word of promise is sure. In all of His relations with His people, God is faithful. And He may be safely relied upon no matter the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in today. No one ever really yet trusted God in vain. You know, we find this precious truth expressed almost everywhere in the Scriptures. For His people need to know that His faithfulness is an essential part of His divine character. This is the basis of our confidence in Him. But it is one thing to accept the faithfulness of God as a divine truth, but it's quite another to begin to move and act upon that faithfulness. You know, Peter, in writing to that early church, said, God has given us many exceedingly great and precious promises. But let me ask you this morning, are we really counting on His fulfillment of those promises? Are we actually expecting Him to do for us as He said He would do? Are we resting with implicit assurance of these words, He who promised is faithful? Do we really believe that God is faithful this morning? See, I realize the circumstances of life many times can drive us to a point that those questions arise. And we question the very faithfulness of God our Father. But are not our hearts reassured when we read in passages such as Genesis 15 that Jehovah declared unto Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years, but they shall come back here in the fourth generation. And as we read that account and realize in this day, that centuries passed as those very words ran their weary course in the lives of the Hebrew children. And yet Abraham's descendants groaned amid the brick kilns of Egypt. Had God forgotten His promise? No, indeed He had not. In Exodus 12:41, it says that the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. What an encouragement for you and I today to be able to go to the Word of God and see those promises, the faithfulness of God in fulfilling those promises. I think that through the words that Isaiah, the Lord declared these words. He said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And yet again, centuries passed. And then we find these words in Galatians 4:4. "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman." Let me encourage you this morning that we can be assured today the Lord is faithful in all of his words. In all of his words. Difficulties are going to arise in this world. Difficulties are going to come into our lives, even as God's children. There are seasons in our lives when it's not easy. Even as Christians, to believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried. Our eyes are filled with tears and we can no longer see the workings of God's love in our lives. The noise of the world has so distracted us that we can no longer hear His still small voice. We look at our lives and our plans have been frustrated. We look around and friends have failed us. Maybe it was a brother or a sister in Christ who has betrayed a confidence in our lives. And we're staggered. We've sought to be faithful to God, and now this dark cloud seems to hide God from us. And we find it difficult, almost impossible, to balance His frowning providence with His gracious promises. But I believe it's at that time that we need to seek grace to bear in mind the very words we find in Isaiah 50:10. "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant?" Listen very closely now to what the Lord said through Isaiah to us. He said, "Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God." I realize even in this very week, it's been a very dark situation in a family in our community. And I realize even in this, that they must trust in the faithfulness of God. You know, when we are tempted to doubt the faithfulness of God, I believe you and I must cry out, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And though we find ourselves at a point where we cannot balance God's mysterious dealings with the knowledge of His love, we are to wait on Him for more light. In His good time, He'll make it plain to us. For He tells us, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." In time, we will see that God is neither forsaken nor deceived His child. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, "The Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for Him." I think of this little poem I read in this past week. It says, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are rich with mercy and shall break in blessings o'er your head." But I'm driven back to that great hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," as I think about God and His moving and working in our lives and moving and working on this earth. And as Chisholm wrote in the second stanza, God's faithfulness in maintaining the order of His universe. He wrote these words, "Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." Scripture abounds in illustrations of God's faithfulness. More than 4,000 years ago, these are the very words spoken by God. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. In every year, in every month, in every week, in every day that passes, we're furnished with a fresh witness to God's fulfillment of this promise. Even in this day, as we look at the trees and the flowers and the shrubs, we see the telltale signs of spring and realize the faithfulness of God." Then we see in the third stanza of that great hymn, as Chisholm wrote, he wrote of God's faithfulness in forgiving our sins, providing strength for the day and hope for tomorrow. He said, "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." Let us ask ourselves here this day, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, gives us the resounding answer to that question. He said, "God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." It's evident that the apostles' confidence in the absolute security of the believer was founded not on the strength of their resolutions or ability to persevere, but on the faithfulness of God and God alone, because God cannot lie. Since God has promised to His Son a certain people for His inheritance to deliver them from sin and condemnation and to make them participants of eternal life and glory, it is certain that He'll not allow them to perish. We can be assured of the words of 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "He who calls you is faithful, and He will surely do it." Now, this morning, I want us to realize that God doesn't deal with us on the ground of our merits. For we have none. We have none. But He deals with us for His own great name's sake. God is constant to Himself in His purpose of grace. Think of the words that we find recorded in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. It says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Well, this morning, God gives a full demonstration of the constancy of His everlasting goodness towards His elect by effectually calling us out of the darkness of this world and into His marvelous light. And this should fully assure us of the certain continuance of it on His part. We should be comforted in that the foundation of God standeth sure. And I believe Paul was resting on the faithfulness of God when he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You know, as we think about the beautifulness of that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, each stanza leads to the great culminating chorus that declares the victorious words of Jeremiah. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You know, as we capture this truth in our hearts and our lives today, and as it becomes a reality for us today, that God is faithful. No matter what happens, no matter what is going on in our world today, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter the situation or the circumstance, I believe that it will drive us to three things in our life. I believe, first of all, it will cause us to persevere from worry. It will cause us to persevere from worry. You know, to be full of care, to view our situation with dark forebodings, to anticipate tomorrow with this great sad anxiety is to reflect poorly upon the faithfulness of God. He who has cared for his child through all the years will not forsake him in his old age. He who has heard your prayers in the past will not refuse to supply your need in the present emergency that has arisen in your life. He has been faithful, and He continues to be faithful. I believe this morning that you and I need to realize that when we rely on the faithfulness of God, that it will preserve us from worry. But I believe, secondly, it'll check our murmurings. Now, I know none of you here this morning are probably like me, that you find yourself in life when situations and circumstances arise that place us in a position we don't want to be or is uncomfortable and we don't like, that we begin to murmur. We begin to run that little mouth of mine. You know, I'm reminded time and again, the Lord knows what is best for each of us. And one effect of resting on this truth of His faithfulness will be the silencing of our fretful complainings. You know, God is greatly honored when under trial and chastening, and both will come into all of our lives as His children in this world in which we live, that we have good thoughts of Him. And that we vindicate His wisdom and His justice, and we recognize His love and His very rebukes in our life. And when you and I can begin to look at those and realize that they are from God, and as I heard many years ago said, there's not anything that comes to this earth that does not first come filtered through the fingers of love of God to His children. When that comes to heart, then I believe it'll check our murmurings. But I believe, thirdly, it'll increase our confidence in God. increase our confidence in God. In 1 Peter 4:19, it says, "Wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God." Did you catch those words? And we don't like to hear that. We don't like to read those words. But wherefore let them suffer, that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. When we trustfully resign ourselves and all of our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of His love and His faithfulness, the sooner, I believe, we will be satisfied with His providences and realize that He doeth all things well. All things well. The faithfulness of God. We live in a world that is totally out of control, that knows very little of true faithfulness. And yet you and I serve the living God who has proven faithful from the very beginning and will be to the very end. And my prayer is this morning that we may all be transported through prayer and faith from our difficulty to a tranquil state of mind where we too can confidently and gratefully proclaim this to be our personal testimony. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Unto me. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful today for Your faithfulness. And Lord, even as we come in this time this morning, we realize that, Lord, we have so often been so unfaithful. And yet, even in that unfaithfulness, You still reach into our lives. You still touch our hearts. You still extend grace and mercy and love and chastisement. And Father, we are thankful for that in this day. We are thankful, Lord, that we can honestly and truthfully look back across our lives. And Lord, time and again, we can see Thy faithfulness to us. And Lord, what a testimony this should be in our lives to the world around us. Testimony to Your faithfulness, O God. For in the very words of Jeremiah, Lord, great is Thy faithfulness. And Lord, I am thankful that Your mercies are renewed every day. And Lord, our prayer is that even in this time, even in these moments, as we think about Your faithfulness, we think of the many around the world and even in our own community, Lord, who may be struggling with this today. The many who have suffered loss and hardship and difficulty and unanswered questions. A life that seems to be out of control, and yet, God, even in all of these things, we find You faithful. So, Lord, in this day, stir our hearts to remembrance. Lord, may we draw ever closer to You because of Thy great faithfulness to us, O God. We pray this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen.
to sing to Him. Stand with me as we sing. Hear the Lord's encouragement as we go out. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I encourage you to enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as we talk together during our fellowship time and then gather again for our Bible study at 11:15.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive,